Praise the Lord. You know, I minister on different ways. Sometimes it's one way, sometimes it's another way. Sometimes it's real strong teaching. Sometimes it's more evangelistic style preaching. Sometimes it's just words of encouragement to help you. And tonight is one of those nights. I just want to talk to you about how to change your world. In fact, I got a book out there called Create the World You Want to See, and this is just some of the stuff that's in that book. A lot of times when you're growing up, you're a kid, and you think it would really be nice to live somewhere else. You ever said, I've done it before, as a kid, sat under the shade tree out in the yard, and just one, you know, man, what would it be like to live here or live there? You know, something that I'd read about or at school and stuff. Because back then I didn't have a television. We didn't get TV till 1955, and I was already in high school. And sometimes you would dream about changing your circumstances, changing your situation. Let me ask you a question. Are you happy with your surroundings? Are the people that you're hanging out with helping you to be a better person? Are you making a difference in your world? Do you wish your world could be different? Now, what I'm talking about, when I'm talking about your world, I'm not talking about this earthly ball that we call a world. I'm talking about your world, where you live, where you work, the places you go, the people you hang out with. You know, that's your world. If you stop and think about it for just a minute, you know, you live in your world. You get up, you drive to work. 90% or more than 90% of the time, you drive the same way to work. You drive the same way home. You stop at the same stores. You shop at the same shopping malls. You hang out with the same people. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Isn't that true? That's our world. That's what we live in. I mean, if you come over and follow me from my house, I go straight down Yale, hit 169, 169 to 71st Street, 71st Street to all the way out to Rhema, to my office. And I'll either go to lunch at Popeye's Chicken or Coney Islander or Subway, which is all right down the street from me, back to my office, leave the office, go the same route home, you know. Either go to Sam's or Costco's or Walmart. That's it. That's my world, you know. And your world is what you do. So, you know, if we going to change our world, we need to read something. Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and the ends of the earth." Notice that God told his disciples first that they had to change. Actually, if you want to change everything around you, then you got to change. Nothing changes until you change. You see, after they had an experience of being changed, then they can change the world. Changing your world starts with us. Leo Tolstoy said, "Everyone thinks of changing the world, but no one thinks of changing himself." You know, it's true that we can't change everything in the world, but we can change us. We can change what we do. Edward Everett Hale said, "I'm only one, but I'm one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And I will not let what I cannot do interfere with what I can do. You know, that's something we need to get a hold of. You know, we can't do everything, but we can do something, and so we shouldn't let what we can't do interfere with what we can do. You know, some people, because they get discouraged because they can't accomplish something, and they sit down and do nothing. You know, I tell people all the time that work for me, I tell them, I say, I'd rather you do something and do it wrong than sit there and do nothing at all. Because it's hard to build a fire under you, but I can always correct mistakes. Hello. You know that? How many of you have ever had people working underneath you? Have you ever noticed that it's hard to get people going? I'd rather, it's easier to correct mistakes than it is to get somebody going and trying to get them to do something. You know, I'm gonna talk about six things that can help you to change your world that you live in. Number one, display a positive attitude in every negative situation. Stay positive. Stay positive, even in a negative situation. I got a book out there called Staying Positive in a Negative World. Thank you. I forget all the titles. There's too many of them. Anyway, I don't write them. I teach them, and then they take them and edit them. They edit my messages and put them all together, and then they'll come out in a book. I think sometimes they carry a little more anointing that way because I spoke them underneath anointing. I just wasn't sitting there trying to figure out what to say. All right? You know, anybody can have a negative attitude. It takes no talent to be negative. It takes no talent to have a bad mood. You choose to be negative. You choose to have a bad mood. I didn't say it wouldn't come there, but you choose to have it, okay? You know, attitudes are contagious. They'll lift you up or they'll tear down. You ever notice you get around somebody that has a good positive attitude, they'll lift you up. You get around with somebody that always has a bad, down, negative attitude, you start getting that. In fact, have you ever known some people that you see them coming, you just rather they wasn't coming because they're always so negative? Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's one guy, he said, we were walking down the street. He said, let's cross the street. So I said, okay. And we crossed the street. I said, why don't we walk across the street? He said, oh, so-and-so was over there. And he said, if they talk forever about how bad everything is. I said, they never have anything good happening. It's always bad. You know, our attitude changes the way we see things and the way we feel. But too often, we wait for our feeling to come before we change our attitude. Change your attitude and your feeling will change. Yes. You know, sometimes all that's necessary for a situation to change is for somebody to show up with a positive attitude. Amen. You know, I guess I've just always been that way, you know, most of you know that my saying, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. That's just me. I mean, I just don't believe it can't be done exist, you know, because I believe that if a person will have a positive attitude, they can change things. Amen. Now, number two, decide to be the first Bible that others read. 2 Corinthians 3:2 in the NLT says, your lives are a letter written in our hearts, and everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. You know, others will read your life before they read the Bible. I mean, come on now. Don't sit there and look at me like you think I fell out of a tree. I did, but I didn't hit my head. You know, people read our lives. They look at, I mean, we can talk all day long about about God and all so forth and so on, but they read our lives the way we react when we're under pressure. So we need to realize that when we're under pressure, we need to act like we talk. You know, a lot of people, they talk faith, but they don't live faith. Come on now. You find out if you really believe what you say you believe concerning the Word of God when you're facing the fire, so to speak. I got a sermon called that too, Facing the Fire. You know, someone said, they said they saw a plaque on a wall that said, now listen to this, now get this. Live in such a way that those who don't know God will come to know God because they have come to know you. That's a good statement. I don't know who said it. They said they saw the plaque on the wall. Live in such a way that those who do not know God will come to know God because they've come to know you. Man, that is a statement to think about a little bit. You know, your Christian witness will change the world you live in more than you realize. You know, only heaven will reveal the effects of your Christian walk and in the world that you live in. Okay, now number three. I'm just talking to you out of my heart tonight. These are things that I've learned over the years, you know, and I've been preaching 56 years, is it, hon? I forget. You're the math person, not me. Huh? You have to figure it out, okay. But, you know, so I just ought to share some of these things with you tonight. This is the way I try to live my life. You know, I mean, we all fall short occasionally, but this is the way I try to live anyway. I mean, Shirley Ledford sitting there has known me for how many years now? Huh?
30 years.
30 years. And she'll tell you that these things that I'm talking about here are things that I try to live by, and I tell others about them. You know, her husband, Lowell, they used to travel for us around to all the churches and the ministers and visit them for us. But in case some of y'all don't know it, she's supposed to be dead. In 1978, they gave you how long to live?
3 months.
3 months to live. She had
melanoma
cancer. And somebody gave her a book, The Authority of the Believer, by my dad. That was 1978. That's 3 months have come and gone a long time. And she's still here because of the power of God. Amen. Because somebody was willing to create a world for her to live in where healing was there. Now, walk in love towards your fellow man. Now, this is one that you say, oh, man, Pastor, you could have talked all day and not got on that. But, you know, more than anything else, people around you, even your family, they need to know that they're loved. You know, I've often wondered my own self if some of the people that become criminals would have become a criminal if they had known somebody loved them and cared. It's the truth. You know, what you say to people sometimes has a great effect. Anybody ever heard of an outlaw back in the 30s by the name of Clyde Barrow?
Oh, yeah.
They made a movie about him. Clyde Barrow was from Dallas, Texas. When they made that movie, I happened to be associate pastor with my father-in-law there in Garland, and they went and they interviewed some people, and they interviewed one man. This was in the paper years ago. And they interviewed this man, and they said that Clyde was just a mischievous young man. Always, you know, getting in trouble and so forth. And everybody kept telling him that he's going to be a criminal and then blah, 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 you know. And finally, one day he said, well, they think I am. They tell me I am. Well, I'm going to be one that the best they ever seen. And actually, they say that's actually what started him down his road. I don't know that to be a fact. That's just what was said. But I wonder sometimes if somebody would have just put their arm around a young man and said, hey, a young person, hey, you're loved. We care about you. What can we do to help you? You know, Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, we all know the love chapter. It says love never fails.
Amen.
When you can't do anything else, you can walk in love.
Amen.
When others show hatred, you can show the love of God. Hello?
Amen.
You know, true love displayed has the power to change your world. Boy, y'all all quiet. I hope you're listening to what I'm saying. Maybe you're quiet because you're listening to what I'm saying. You know, we need to display the love of God by praying for our enemies, by lending a helping hand to somebody. You know, I was reading something on Facebook. Oh, it's been a while back now. There was a car pulled over the side of the road and it had a flat tire. It was raining. I believe it was a more mature lady, older lady, I guess. And so this day and age is sometimes it's not very smart to do something. But this young man, he felt like, so he stopped and got wet and changed the tire and so forth and so on. But to make a long story short, then the woman began to inquire and found out who this young man was and found out that he was working hard, but his family was in financial difficulty. And she was a lady of means. Now she didn't portray that idea. He didn't know who she was, and she paid off their house. I think it was something. Anyway, something like that. Just because he showed he cared, you never know what showing somebody will care will do for you. You know, I just read. Just the other day, it was on Facebook the other day, a waitress, the two firemen come in. They've been fighting a fire all night long, and it wasn't very far from the restaurant. And they came in. They've been there all night. They came in to get some breakfast and some coffee, and she could tell they had been fighting the fire, and she heard them talking about it. So when she presented the bill to them, she wrote a little note and said, you know, I thank you for what you do and so forth and so on. I see somebody shaking their head. They may have read this note. Well, all she did was buy their meal. But they began to find out that there was some issues with her family. I think one of the family members was an invalid and needed a van, a medical van and so forth and so on. And she'd been trying to raise the money for that. And they found out about it, and they got their whole fire department and everybody involved. They were able to do all this. And simply because she just said she loved them and cared for them because they were protecting us. Hello. I mean, I see people all the time. I tell them, thank you for your service. Nathan right here is a fireman. We need to thank him for our service. Every time I see a serviceman or a lady in uniform, I thank them for their service. I mean, I serve, so, you know, I know what it is to be there. But lending a helping hand, showing love. That's showing love. Hello. By speaking a kind word. You never know what a word of encouragement will do to somebody. How it will lift them up. It may get them through another day. You know, by sharing. what you have. You remember that Peter and John said, we don't have any gold, but such as we have, we're going to give to you. They had the power of God with them. Share what you have. You know, there's some people said, well, I'd give money if I had it. I told one guy, I knew him, and he used to keep saying that. I finally got disgusted. I said, no, you wouldn't. Yes, I would, Hagin, I would. And I said, no, you wouldn't. I said, because you won't give the dollar you got. If you won't give the dollar you got, you ain't not going to give the 100 if you had it. Amen. Hello. Sometimes we just need to give what we have. Okay, let's go to number 4, because I'm running out of time. Believe to achieve the impossible. Remember the man that came to Jesus with the lunatic son, and he told him, he said, all things are possible to him that believes. Do you know that just about every successful endeavor has started out with a situation that looked impossible? How many of you are thankful for these lights? I think Thomas Edison had 4,000 experiments or something before he ever found, I don't know, it's a huge number, I don't know whether it's been something like that, before he ever found an element that would stay long enough to produce light. Aren't you glad that he didn't give up, but he kept on going? Because people told him, hey, it's impossible, why don't you just give it up? But he didn't. How many of you got a telephone? You know, they told Bell he couldn't do it. See, almost everything that we have starts out with people saying it's impossible. Any of you ever went across the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco? The majority of the engineers back there told them, this is impossible. You can't build this bridge. They did. See, what am I saying to you? Believe to achieve the impossible. Your faith can make a difference in your world. All things are possible to him that believes. That's what Jesus said. All things, not just spiritual things, all things. All things. Some people say, oh, yeah, all spiritual things. No, he said all things are possible to him. You got to, in fact, my dad used to tell me, and I've told it to my kids and grandboys, you got to believe you can before you can. Probably any of you that have played athletics have heard a coach say that to you before. I had one say to me. See, You have to believe that your circumstances are going to change. I don't care what you're in the middle of. You got to believe that your healing is going to take place. You got to believe that you can make a difference with your faith in God. What you believe and speak can change your world. And of course, we're going to Mark 11:23, which is Rhema's foundation scripture. Most of you know it. For surely I say to you, who says this mountain be thou removed, thee cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. Believes and says. Believes and says. Okay, let's go to 5. Use your gifts and talents to make a difference. You have, every one of us, has different gifts and different talents. We can use them to help change our world and other people's worlds. You know, I'm a visionary. I see things and can envision things. But I'm not one to put it down on the paper. It doesn't come easy for me. So, Miss Lynette, she's the organizer. She's my organizer. She's the one that can put it all together. I know Tony Cook used to go to him and say, Tony, he was my associate for 19 years. Now he has his own ministry. I said, Tony, listen, here's this idea I have. I want to teach the people this, and I'd give it all to him because I had it up here, but I'm just not one of those that could get it down on the paper. And so I'd talk to him and I'd give it to him, and pretty soon he'd bring me back an outline, and I'd get up and sell it to the church because that's my talent. In fact, I took one of them. What do you call that test you give me? A personality profile, and I came back a promoter and a seller. I could promote and sell. That's because you can talk. I can talk. My family says I'd talk to a signpost if it talked to me. But some people, that's not their gift. Some people's gift is music. Some people's talent is something else. See, God needs people in every walk of life walking for him. That's why he gives everybody different talents and different giftings. You see, Bernard Meltzer said, use those talents you have. You'll give joy to the world. Take the tip from nature. The woods would be a very silent place if no birds sing except those who sang best. That's an interesting thought. See, everybody, some people think they don't have nothing. Everybody has something they can bring to make a difference. Everybody does. You know, church picnics are a lot of fun. You know, I mean, our church socials that we have here, what, we just had one a few months back. I think we got another one coming up soon, sometime or another. I don't know when it is. They just tell me what to do, and I don't do it. I'm not even the head, and I just don't do what I'm told. Well, partially, okay. You know, you may not be able to feed the whole crowd, but you can bring something, and when everybody brings something, it's enough to feed everybody. Hello? See, identify your gifts. Identify your talents. And then ask God to help you use them to change your world and other people's worlds. See, don't try to be a five-talent person if you're a one-talent person. Now I'm going to go to the talents in the Word of God. Remember in the Word of God, the master gave out, he gave one guy five talents, and he gave another guy two talents, and he gave the other guy one talent. Because they had different giftings. But if you'll go read the reward, the guy that got the five talents and the guy that got the two talents, they both got the same reward. Right. The guy that had the one talent, he got kicked out because he didn't do anything with his talents. That's showing us that God has given us talents. He expects us to do something with it. Yes. Hello? You know, I tell people all the time in the church, hey, we need, you know, if your talent is ushering, if your talent's working back there on the soundboard or whatever, or your talent's working with the kids, or your talent is working a parking lot, then don't try to be a singer. That's not your talent. You don't want me up there singing. Hello? This is my talent right here. I've always been able to talk. Even in school. I was in the first play I was ever in was when I was in the second grade in school. And I've just always been that way. I was in speech and all that kind of stuff. That's just me. I mean, you give me a subject, I'll talk on it. You know, that's just it. But you see, identify your talents. Know what you can do and what you can't do, and don't try to get over here and do something you can't do. There, one of the guys on our board, he's not there now. He's got off, but a few years back. But he was a developer out in California. I mean, he even developed a whole city out there, and he was a developer. But he was going to get in some other stuff, and he started investing and trying to get in other stuff and almost went broke. And I think it was my dad told him, said, and called him by name and said, get back to what your talent is. Get back to developments. That's where you made your money. That's where your talent. He went back to doing that and come out, and that's what he's been doing for years, and his kids now have taken over the business. But you see, he tried to get over here. I mean, I tell people all the time, there's a lot of good preachers out there, but not everybody can be a pastor. But there's some guys that are trying to be a pastor, and they need to be a trainer. There's some pastors that are trying to pastor that need to just be a Sunday school teacher. No, I don't mean that wrong, but it's the truth. See, find out what your talent is. See? Brother Ernie back there, he raises cattle. All right, I know a little bit about cattle, but that's not my talent. My uncle had a little 250 acres. He was raising a few head down there. And one day, my associate pastor back in '69, down there, he said, "Hey, come on and go with me. Go in but down there. I need to round up those calves. And I don't have a cattle squeeze." He said, "We'll run them through the barn, and you can kick them up against the wall, and I'll give them a shot, you know." So you got to grab their ear and their tail and get you and shove them against in the stall, and he give them a shot and let them go. Well, we went out to round up those, and so it's a lazy spring day, and I'm riding old Calico Babe, and I'm sitting there, and you know, and then one of those calves broke out. And she wheeled and went after that cow, and I lost this right stirrup. All I could do was grab the saddle horn and hold on, because, I mean, a cutting horse is trained to get a calf back into the herd. You don't have to guide it. It'll do it on its own. And I'm just hanging on. I'm just on for the ride. As soon as she got that calf back in the herd, I was able to get my stirrup back, you know. But until then, I'm hanging on, because, I mean, if you've ever rode a cutting horse, when they cut, sometimes you can almost reach down and grab the ground when they cut sometimes. Is that right, Brother Ernie? That's the truth, you know. So I'm hanging on for dear life. Hey, you know, I went down there and helped that's not my talent. I'm not a cowboy. Now, I like to wear cowboy boots and jeans, but I'm not a real cowboy. There's some people, that's their talent. That's what they're good at. Find out your giftings and your talents. Oh, man, I'm overboard, ain't I? Okay, well, I'm just going to keep going anyway. That's all right. And then begin to use them to change your world that you're living in and help change the world with other people. All right, number six, this is the last one. Share what you have with others. God didn't ask you to give everything away, but he asked you to share. Now, we've been taught that. I mean, as kids, we taught to share. I mean, how many of you had siblings, brothers or sisters? Yeah, we got to share. Mine. How many of you remember that? Mine, that's mine. No, that's mine. Nathan and Christine may still have this. They got young kids. But that happens. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen. Hello? You got to learn to share. I'd be at my grandmother's house, and she said, "Kenneth Wayne, you got to share with the rest of them." "I don't want to share." "Well, do it anyway, you know." That's the way you learn. See, sometimes, like I said a while ago, people said, "Well, if I had it, I would share it." No, you wouldn't. You won't share what you got. People are not waiting for you to give them a bunch. They're waiting for you to give them what you have. A smile, a word of encouragement, a text to let them know you're thinking about them. I do that all the time. I can go right here, right now, and go. In fact, I did it today. I got all these pastors on here, on my text. I got all of these pastors. I can go right there. I got a message there. And I got all of these pastors. I mean, I don't know how many of them on there. There you go. How many times did I scroll that thing? And I write them at least once a week to encourage them, to say, hey, usually I write them on Saturday night or Sunday. Have a great Sunday. You're a great pastor. Just something, you know, nothing big. But, hey, and, you know, I'll get a text back. Oh, Pastor, you don't know how bad I needed that today. You know, I mean, you don't know. A prayer, let you know I'm praying for him. In fact, I texted a guy the other day and said, hey, I'm just thinking about you and praying for you today. Hello.
Amen.
Yeah. The truth is we have more to give than we realize we have. And your giving can change your world and other people's world.
Amen.
The whole key to this whole thing is starting with you and with what you have.
Amen.
Not what somebody else has. Not, you see, Mother Teresa said this, never worry about numbers. Help one person at a time and always start with the person that's nearest you. You can change your world if you'll start with yourself. You'll be amazed at how much you end up helping change others when you start changing yourself. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? It was just some encouragement teaching tonight. Just some stuff that I've learned over the years that has helped me to be where I am today.
Amen.
And where did I learn some of this? Most of it. I learned it from a man by the name of Kenneth E. Hagin. I'm Kenneth W. Two men that have shaped me into the minister I am today, Kenneth E. Hagin and B.E. Tipton, my father-in-law. My dad left the church when I was in the middle of my third grade year, and he traveled and preached. And then I went to work for my father-in-law for 5 years, almost six, as associate pastor, where I learned about pastoring. Of course, I learned the traits that I'm talking to you about from my dad as he helped to mold me as a young man. Dads that I have here, grandfathers that I have in the room today, you have a responsibility to your sons, daughters, your grandsons and granddaughters to show them the things that I talked about tonight. And I believe that you can help change their world and your world. And I believe that each of us can grab a hold of these things that I talk about tonight and can change our world for the better. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for the words that you've given us to say. I pray, Father, that they find lodgment in somebody's heart. I realize everything that I said wasn't for everybody, but something I said was for everybody. May each one take that part that was meant for them, and may they use it to adjust their life so that they can change their world. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you happen to be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you do know Him, but you really just need to rededicate, or you go to church but you don't know whether you've ever accepted Christ or not, I want to pray for you if there's anybody in any one of those categories. Let me see your hand. I'll pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. Is there anybody here that would like to be filled with the Spirit? I'm not talking about church, creed, or doctrine. I'm talking about the Bible. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody here want to receive that biblical experience of being filled with the Spirit tonight? Well, praise God. Well, raise your hands and thank God that everybody is born again. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, everybody stand, reach your hands out. We got a cloth to pray over here for a lady, an older lady that has a urinary tract infection. The Bible says in Acts 19:11-12 that they took handkerchiefs and aprons from the Apostle Paul when they were given to the sick. the disease departed from them. And if they were evil spirits, they left. So reach your hands out as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now. We lay hands on this cloth knowing that as we pray over this cloth, the power of God's going into this cloth. And I thank you that that healing power, when it's laid on this lady, that healing power will flow out of that cloth, the same as it flowed out of your robe into the lady with the issue of blood. And I thank you for complete healing in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hey, if you get an opportunity, come over to Rockets. If not, they'll be right here. So be service here. So come here. All right. So, hey, let me get to the door. Miss Lynette, go to one door. We'll shake hands with you as we leave. Hey, keep inviting people. And there's stuff out there. There goes Miss Peggy Ann right there. She's going out there to get it all ready. Hey, go out there and get some of it. We don't want to have to throw any of it away. All right. Praise the Lord. Next week right here, 6:00. God bless.